That would be cool.
Yeah. On the 23rd, how long? Are you going to do 12
10 a.m.
hours?
10 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Mark Villadal still does a show on...
He's going to be one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Leolani and then Happy Players or something?
No, then Duffy Billerhead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a little
so the Happy
name.
Players, no?
I didn't put them in there. I could. Maybe I'll do that one for the general.
If they have enough music to...
Yeah.
Usually they have about, hour and a half, and then they're, okay, now what are we going to do? All right. Well, I was just going to ask you some of the things you've already talked about. What I'll do is just maybe ask you who you are.
Yeah.
How people see you, and then we'll just go into what you think the major issues are.
Okay.
All right. Well, here we go. Mike Flood. 3, 2, 1. We're talking with Mike Flood, representative for Congress here in Nebraska. And Mike, before we get started, let's just talk a little bit about, maybe let our listeners know who you are. Who is Mike Flood?
Well, I'm actually a radio broadcaster from Norfolk, Nebraska. I was born and raised there, lived there my whole life except for getting a degree, and I am a father of two. I've got a 15 and a 12-year-old. My wife's originally from Columbus, and my grandma and grandpa are from Fremont, so I got the whole district covered. I own a business called News Channel Nebraska, and it has radio and TV stations across the state.
Let's talk a little bit about the issues and what the first district, what is on the mind of most people that you've been talking to now? What would be the main issue?
Well, people want to see leadership in Washington, D.C. And, you know, given Congressman Fortenberry's current challenges, you know, I think it's important that we all understand that there's the opportunity to change the Speaker of the House. And we need it to be, a Republican. And so I'm very focused on earning the trust of the voters to change the leadership in the House and to take on the big issues. People are talking to me about inflation. You know, we're at a 40-year high, 7% inflation. The government keeps spending a lot of money. You know, we're printing money. At the end of the day, someone's got to pay for all this. And on top of it, you know, people are feeling it at the gas pump and the grocery store. So inflation is a top concern, certainly with what's happening in Ukraine and the advance of the Russians. And at the same time, you've got the, China, essentially the axis of evil between the two of them. And it's got families concerned. You know, I've got two young boys, teenage boys, and I think about where are we going as a country. And I want to protect our freedom. And the other thing people are talking to me about is these mandates. They don't want the federal government having so much control over their life. You know, people are wanting to live in, without all of the restrictions. I think we're coming out of the pandemic. You know, we certainly want people to get vaccinated if that's your choice. If you don't want to get vaccinated, that is your choice, and let people make those choices.
When you're currently in the legislature and serving for the Norfolk area, what's different about going to Washington? Are you able to still focus on Nebraska?
Well, for me, you know, I've been representing Norfolk and Madison County for a long time in the legislature. I get excited about the idea of being able to add towns like Fremont and Columbus and Lincoln to that list of communities that I serve. For me, it's a chance to be our representative. And when the deals are done in Washington, to be fighting for the people back here in my hometown. You know, I have an advantage, I think, being from a town the size of Norfolk. I understand how a Fremont works. I understand how a Columbus works. We've got a lot of the same attributes, and, you know, we've got to get the highways built. We've got to make sure that we are business friendly and that we had a fair shot at creating jobs and opportunity. And I want somebody to be at the table to bring home opportunities and to help people that are trying to grow businesses in our communities.
One of the items that I asked you about earlier was broadband and the state of Nebraska. And we both know, being in the radio business, that there are problems out there with connectivity for not just the internet, but mainly, that would be it. The internet is the main connection point where I think there's a problem, isn't there?
It's absolutely a problem. And, you know, it's not that the federal government isn't putting resources into it. It's that they have these crazy rules that say, okay, if you've got 25 meg up or down and, you know, 3 up, that you are suddenly taken care of with high-speed internet. That standard doesn't apply anywhere. You can't watch a video. You know, you can't have your high schooler do the assignments they have in high school with that kind of internet. And it's not so, you know, like, we're going to solve these problems inside the city limits. It's these rural homeowners that are out there You know, if they didn't have Dish or DirecTV or satellite, they wouldn't have TV. I mean, unless they use an antenna. For the same reason, we got to figure out a way to get them internet, which means run fiber out there or have a wireless service that actually delivers high-speed internet, 100 meg up, 100 meg down. And I think it's all in changing the standard. If you're going to get the government money, then build to the people and not just these little, you know, enclaves where it's easy and you can maximize, you know, the government's investment. We need to be in the farms. We need to be on the ranches out in western Nebraska. Everything's got to be connected. And if we really want to grow agriculture, we need it everywhere. Those tractors are going to drive themselves someday.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to get to the ag connections in Norfolk, Fremont, very heavy ag businesses or processing. Ag processing would be a big part of that. Talk about what you can do, I guess, in Washington on that perspective.
Well, obviously, you start on the environmental front. For me, Waters of the United States, all of these different federal rules and regulations. Every time there's some executive order that comes out of President Biden, we have to worry about what impact it's going to have, especially in agriculture, because a lot of times on that environmental stuff, it's stacked against us. The other thing that I'm really focused on is making sure that we protect the step-up in basis in the federal estate tax. We've got to be able to pass these farms on to the next generation. And on any given day, there's somebody in Congress or even in the White House talking about eliminating, you know, some of the ability to be able to transfer your farm to, you know, your son or daughter or whoever it is without a huge tax bill. And so that's another concern, you know, from an agriculture perspective. And then as I look at, you know, livestock production, if you're raising cows, you know, it seems a lot of days like the cards are stacked against you. And Senator Fisher's leading the way in so many ways on that front. I have a great relationship with her. I worked with her in the legislature, and you know, I think that the leadership she's providing and trying to hold the Packers accountable is something that I'm interested in being a part of.
Definitely. Well, we wish you good luck. And any closing remarks?
Well, it's great to be on the radio in Fremont with people that I know and trust. And I look forward to many more trips back here. And this town, as I go through it, has a lot to be proud of. The growth on your eastern edge is just amazing. The fact that we're going to get that 4-lane done all the way to Columbus, I think, and we're getting that 275 done. I think it's beautiful for Fremont, and I think it's exciting.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, that'll do it, mister. Thank you.